Happy to see each of you this morning. I'm glad y'all got to see me also. We miss those that are not able to be here. Look forward to seeing them the next time if the Lord wills. This morning the lesson is entitled The Second Coming of Christ. You know, there are many false theories, but the second coming of Christ is a reality. A vital and comforting Bible teaching is Revelation 22 and verse 20, where the Bible says, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Notice with me, if you will, the contrast between His two advents or appearance into this world. First, Christ came in the first century from the manger as a babe. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 reads, Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Christ will come again in the future to the king throne. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 reads, When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. We'll note later that this is not an earthly throne. Christ came in the first century in the likeness of men. The Bible says that Christ made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2 and verse 7. Christ will come again in the future in the glory of God the Father. Mark 8 and verse 38 reads, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Christ came in the first century as a servant. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 reads, Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. In the future, Christ will come again as Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6, 14 and 15 admonishes us all to keep His commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ came in the first century as a sin offering. The Bible says He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, Hebrews 9 and verse 26. In the future, Christ will come again without sin. The Bible says Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation, reads Hebrews 9 and verse 28. We are studying the second coming of Christ, but why will He come again? To be glorified in His saints. When He shall come to be glorified in His saints as we reflect His glory, and to be admired in all of them that believe, reads 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, 1 John 3 and verse 2. Christ will come again to raise the dead and change the living. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, reads 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53. Why will Christ come again to judge the world? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead, Acts 17 and verse 31, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Reads Judges verses 15. Or Jude verse 15, I'm sorry. Christ will judge according to works. For the Bible says in Matthew 16, 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Revelations 22, 12. The Bible says that Christ will come again to receive his own. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself," reads Philippians 3 and verse 21. Why will Christ come again to end the world? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or manner of living and godliness? Read 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. The second coming of Christ proves he's not coming to establish an earthly, physical kingdom, but rather he will conclude his earthly reign. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, reads 1 Corinthians 15, verses 23 and 24. Christ is coming, but how will he come? His arrival will be sudden, startling, and glorious. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Reads 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. How will Christ come? With his mighty angels. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, Matthew 25, 31. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7. How will Christ come? In flaming fire to the disobedient. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9 reads, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction," that is, destruction without end, "from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." How will Christ come? In clouds of heaven. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelations 1 and verse 7. Deity is often associated with clouds. In the Old Testament, clouds were a token of divine presence and majesty. God went before Israel in a cloud by day, the Bible says. Ephesians 13:21 tells us that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. God met Moses in a cloud at Mount Sinai. Exodus 24:15-16 says that Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God was in the cloud upon the mercy seat of the tabernacle. Leviticus 16:2 reads, "The Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." Thus the Jews came to think of God as using the clouds for his chariot. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind." Read Psalms 104, verses 1 through 3. In the New Testament, likewise, clouds were used for God's presence. God was present in a bright cloud at the Transfiguration. The Bible says, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Reads Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. The Son of God left this earth in a cloud, the Bible tells us. Acts 1 and verse 9 reads, "While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." The Old Testament prophesied about one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, reads Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. The Son of God will return in a cloud. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 reads, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The cloud should have an emotional meaning to each of us. Someday, one of them will be the Lord's chariot, and then our chariot into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 reads, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The old African-American spiritual song fittingly reads, "Sweet bow, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." We are studying the second coming of Christ. Now notice the time of His coming. His second coming is mentioned often in Scripture, even in His weekly memorial supper. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come," reads 1 Corinthians 11:26. But the date is wrapped in secrecy, as the Bible says that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, 1 Thessalonians 5:2. And so the emphasis is on the importance of being prepared. "Ye brethren," which implies faithfulness, "are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep spiritually as do others, but let us watch and be sober," 1 Thessalonians 5:4-6. In closing, are we ready if Christ should come today? Is our name written in the book of life? Have we demonstrated our belief to repentance, confession, and water immersion into Christ? We should always live in expectation of His coming. Jesus said, "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Mark 13:37. Hardened hearts, do not. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation," reads 2 Peter 3:3-4. "But if in that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers," Luke 12:45-46. We need to learn to serve or wait watchfully for him who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come," reads 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. We shouldn't become complacent just because we don't know when he's coming. So we need to get ready and stay ready. Do we need to fix anything spiritually to be ready? Make things right with the Lord right now as together we stand and sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Where he leads me, I will follow.